Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
I think the less I say, the better.
Tip Miles yesterday. Welcome to Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, brought to Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. 2 hours. You don't have to, the less I say, the better. You don't have to toe that line. We got plenty of room for you today to react to the NCAA tournament, to react to the NIT. And maybe you're over it. Maybe you're out of tears, maybe your thumbs or your voice captioning on social media. Maybe you're over it. Maybe you've moved on. That's fine. I have some thoughts on what you wanted Nebraska to be versus what they actually were, according to those in the committee. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house. Let you do that. 466-3776. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Get a hold of us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter. And you can email us, chris@hailvarsity.com. Here's what's coming up. He has lived through Selection Sunday. He's been snubbed. He has been rewarded. He has been to it with five different teams. Tom Penders is a big-time Nebraska cheerleader. We'll get coaches' thoughts, the Hall of Famer, on Nebraska, on Oklahoma, on some of the storylines from yesterday. A little bit of football talk as spring football gets rolling on Friday. We'll get caught up with Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie in 1 hour. And then Husker standout Andy Markowski going to be with us to get his thoughts on Nebraska and what they do in the NIT and what they did this season. So you have your directions, can join us. And here is the Honda of Lincoln fan poll. Can vote on HailVarsity.com. What was Nebraska's biggest issue when it came to missing out on the NCAA tournament? Non-conference schedule, conference strength, conference schedule, lack of quality wins. All four of those, they're your answer. There's your reason. And here's what I'm interested from you to figure out where you're at. Are you upset, irate, snubbed, disrespected, fired up, angry, really truly crushed they didn't get in? There are some of you out there that I believe that's where you're at. You truly thought they were going to get in. There's some of you that, you know, let's hope they get in. But, man, it's going to be tough. Let's hope for a good NIT. Let's have a party down at PBA. That was given the middle finger by the NIT Selection Committee, chaired by Barry Collier. You are going to Stark Vegas on Wednesday, Nebraska, and I am sorry. So the level of you're already down and now you get kicked happened in full force yesterday. But does the truth hurt, or is it outrage and insult to you that Nebraska is not only out of the tournament, but they're so lightly regarded in the NIT? And my thought on Nebraska basketball, I just doing some research. The 2016-2017 Nebraska basketball team that went 12-19, the team that started 3-0 in conference play, that team has more tournament wins than this year's team. They won at Maryland. They beat Purdue. Folks, the true and ugly truth of this Nebraska basketball team, and God, I hate it to be told you so, guy, because I'm not really that way, but since the win against Michigan, and then you followed up with Ohio State, once that didn't happen, We talked about lack of opportunity. So that's why we threw out 14-4. That's why we threw out 13-5 minimum. That's why we threw out you got to go undefeated. That's why this the bar was set so high. Because in your schedule, you had 7 games against tournament teams, and you went 1-6. Does that mean Nebraska's not a good team? No. Does that mean Nebraska needs to schedule crazy? I don't know. How did you feel last year after your non-conference when your strength of schedule was 9 and you were annihilated because you didn't have Andrew White? I mean, it was there's no right answer. You just need some things to break your way. And the truth of the matter is this. Things are out of Nebraska's control. If you're Tim Miles, do you go nuts on scheduling like last year where it's murderer's row? Virginia Tech, UCLA, Clemson, Kansas, Creighton. And then you had a Big Ten that got 7 teams in. What Nebraska did this year was try and schedule smart. They scheduled aggressively. Their intent was to get conference champs, even if they were non-Power 5, or folks that usually found their way in a top 2. Didn't happen. And you had very few swings at the plate to make an impression. You didn't beat Kansas. Sorry. God, you were right there. You didn't get any of the big 3. Michigan State, Purdue, Ohio State. They were all on the road. It would have been nice to split it up and get 2 at home, 2 on the road. Didn't happen. You got Michigan. You couldn't recreate that and beat Michigan. So you had 7 chances to get quality wins. And if you're going into a season and you schedule like that, your assumption is, God, it can't be true that Minnesota, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland are all going to suck this year. They have than they did. That's not to take away from your wins. It's not. It's not easy beating Maryland. It's not easy winning on the road. Did you beat the teams you were supposed to beat? Edict was nice in theory, but it didn't carry as much weight as opportunity and the capitalization on those opportunities. So if you're Nebraska basketball, you can do a couple of things. One, you can get fired up and angry about how you finished the year, what the commission thought of you, what the selection committee thought of you, and then what the NIT committee thinks of you. And you can do something about this and put it to good use. You can learn how to win on the road or neutral site games against tournament teams. Mississippi State's a lot like you. They're 16-2, except for the fact that they're in a 10 times better league this year. The SEC got 7 in. So, excuse me, they got 8 in. So it's kind of up to Nebraska. And if you're Nebraska, do you kind of go back to being Nebraska, or do you kind of plant your flag? All right, we got hosed. We got disrespected. Let's do something about it. Let's put a run together and see you in New York. NIT and selection committee. That's their options. Why did they get snubbed? Why did they get left out? Why are they probably, instead of the last 4 out or the next 4 out, they're on that 15 to 20 spot with 15 to 20 teams in front of them? It's because they didn't beat anybody. They didn't beat anybody, and they didn't have a lot of chances to beat anybody because the league was so bad. And you're looking to blame, too, right? That's natural. Whose fault is it anyway? Well, Nebraska needed to take care of their business, but the Big Ten to not be able to get their 4th-place team in is a joke, is criminal. That's on the league. That's on the schedule makers. That's on the lack of balance in the schedule. Next year, they're going to 20 league games. So you're going to get home and homes. I don't know if there was an effort to protect your top heavy four, because send in Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State to Lincoln isn't usually a good idea. You can have an up and down, under 500, over 500 Nebraska basketball team, but they're going to drill somebody likely at PBA. So I don't know if the Big Ten is known to be down within the circles of the Big Ten. So let's protect our top three. And I'm just throwing out ideas. I have no proof or clue with why the schedule broke the way it did. Was Northwestern supposed to be worth a damn this year? Yeah, you got two games against them. Was Maryland very good? You got them at home. Was Michigan really good? Yeah, you know, that's a known quantity. Nebraska was picked 13th. Maybe there's not a lot of consideration when making Nebraska's schedule because they've been 10 through 14 in the league the last 3 years. Is Indiana supposed to be better? Don't know. New coach. But you got them once. So win more. Schedule. If I'm Tim Miles, I just kind of I push my chips to the middle of the table here, and I schedule aggressively, especially next year. And it looks like they're going to have a good opportunity with the league schedule and with the Sprint Center Hall of Fame thing. And you may or may not have Palmer or Copeland or whoever. You've always had roster turnover, but just go out with a high level of credibility. Get some wins. Schedule NCAA tournament wins. 2 years ago, it killed you because you didn't have Andrew White. Well, you didn't have the depth of that philosophy because you went super heavy 1 year. Let's dial it back this year and kind of have a happy medium. That happy medium is your conference schedule that got 70% of the Big 12 in, by the way. So what you need to do is just go out with a bang. Schedule. You may or may not have the types of athletes like Palmer or Copeland or Roby in future years, but plan on it. That's gonna be your reinforcement to have that type of those type of players, that type of talent is your schedule. Don't leave anything to chance. Here's Tim Miles, his reaction yesterday. He met with the media, with us, and I mean that's so raw. Think about getting the worst news at the worst time, and let's talk about it.
You know, obviously you're disappointed not to be in the NCAA tournament. You hope that for your guys. You know, we had done some unprecedented things here at Nebraska, and to be left out in a Power 5 with the record we had, obviously our strength of record was our best metric. You know, you can make a case for and against as always. So we look forward to playing in the NIT and preparing for Mississippi State.
As a Nebraska fan, can you make a case for Nebraska to get in? Eye test, shirts and skins, yes, I'm with you that on a given night, they can hang with a lot of teams. You've had two TV folks kind of back Nebraska, Dockich and Greenberg. And I think it was more about this team went 13-5. You can change the name from Nebraska to whoever. The NIT side of things, not getting a home game, Penn State getting a home game, simply comes down to this. Penn State at least has multiple wins, even though it's against the same team. Multiple wins against the same team that went to the NCAA tournament. And while Nebraska's better than Penn State, Penn State's resume looked better to the NIT folks. It comes down to a painful... The folks in charge thought it was smoke and mirrors this year. They're beating up on a lot of weaker kids. That's the truth. That's the edict you got from Selection Sunday with a tournament you wanted to be in and the tournament no one wants to go to. So you got to do something about it. NIT seeding, Coach Miles, what's he going to do about it?
I just don't know how seeding works in the NIT. I don't know what factors are at large, if it's just completely off your track record or if there are other things like your available facilities or our administration knows all that stuff, you know, because they put out the paperwork for the bids and stuff like that. So that's Mark and Bill.
Holding conflict, did you?
I don't think so. I mean, and if it's just that we're the whatever seed, then well, that's their perspective.
You've got fuel right now. If you're Tim Miles, if you're Nebraska, this is what the people who matter think of your program.
Well, I have to study it a little bit because we've always scheduled, you know, I think fairly to what we thought.
This is the scheduling comment we'll get to in a minute, but we're talking slapping in the face. I don't know if it was palm or backhand.
Yeah, a little bit. I really do feel like we got slapped in the face, and it is what it is. I mean, you can, you know, we can still do something about it. I think that's the good news. And I hope we rally and respond, and the guys feel the same way I do.
Amen, Tim. Respond, rally, go to Stark Vegas and get a win. That's step one. Tom Penders, Hall of Fame basketball coach. 5 teams to the NCAA tournament. Did Nebraska get screwed by the NCAA? You have an opinion if you're a Nebraska fan? Coach Penders has a thought on the NCAA. We'll hear that thought from Coach Penders. Andy Markowski's on the way. It's a Monday, Disappointment Monday, on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hall of Fame basketball coach. He knows March well. 5 teams to the tournament and an Elite 8 appearance. And 3 of his former teams are dancing. And that's Rhode Island. That is Houston. That is Texas. Tom Penders with us on Hail Varsity Radio, at Tom Penders on Twitter. Coach, you got to love this time of year. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I'm excited because of that, you know, having 3 teams, former teams of mine. And in each case, I know the coach really well. I know the players really well on those teams. And so I have 3 teams to pull for during the tournament. There's a lot of interesting matchup, you know, as you know, a lot of parity. And after the first round of the tournament, you know, everybody's going to say, I told you they didn't belong.
There's a lot of that already going on here in Nebraska, Coach.
I could imagine. I was just happy that a couple people did stick up for you on the television. But, you know, they tell you they're going to do it a certain way, and then things change. Like RPI used to be the biggest thing. Now you have teams in there with 70s in the RPI. They can't explain it. You look at a Notre Dame team that had arguably the best player in America. You know, he was runner-up player of the year in the ACC, which is not an easy feat, and that's Bonzi Colson. So I was looking forward to seeing Notre Dame in the tournament, and they don't get in. They consider that. Not giving them a bid, I thought, was really, you know, I don't care what their RPI was. When he was in the lineup and healthy, they were a top 10 team, never mind a top 25 team. And Syracuse is the team that got in over them. Syracuse was a middle-of-the-pack team in the ACC who they don't play road games. They don't go out and play anybody. They're in the tournament. Notre Dame's not in there, or Nebraska's not in there. You can go down the line. In recent memory, when an athletic director is on the search committee, there's a strong suspicion that his school is going to get in the tournament by coaches. That committee, I know there are a bunch of good people trying to do a good job, but there are very few basketball people on the committee. If that ever happened in football, if you had a bunch of non-football people on a committee to pick the Final Four, there'd be an uproar. If you don't have somebody from your conference on that committee, you better win and win by a wide margin, meaning have a good record, beat the right teams. It's tough. It's crazy. It's like going in for surgery and having a bunch of mechanics from a local gas station come in and want to do surgery on you.
There's your tonsils, right? Yeah, Tom Penders with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, let's stick with Nebraska. And What's your reaction when you look at their resume? When you look at where they ended up, a 5 seed in the NIT, that means they were middle to maybe back middle of the NIT. They were nowhere close to the bubble. Is that accurate in your opinion to have them
fall so far? It's ridiculous. To win 13 games in the Big Ten and to be a 5th seed in the NIT is insanity, in my opinion. They should have at least be a 2 seed in that tournament. They may not have been the first 4 out or whatever, second 4 out and all that stuff. I don't know where they were and all that in reality, but I think it's ridiculous. And there's only one way for Nebraska to prove them wrong is to go through the NIT and win it or get to the Final Four in New York, do some damage in the tournament. You got to either have them angry and upset or loose as can be, one or the other. More often than not, you know, having your kids upset, they're angry, they're disrespected.
Coach, wanted to get your thoughts on Oklahoma. Do you think Oklahoma should have got in?
No way. And I love Lon Kruger. He's one of my coaching friends. I respect him, but there's no way that team deserves to be in. You know, when you lose 8 out of your last 10, and they were in a tailspin for the last month of the season. You know, their point guard, a great little player, but people got wise and they learned how to play him. And once they learned how to do that, you know, Oklahoma started losing and he started struggling. So they didn't deserve to be in. It's as simple as that. Why'd they get in? Star power, in my opinion. You know, they are a highly publicized team during the season. Big 12 has great PR. They do a super job, and it was a great conference and all. But, you know, they finished near the bottom, and they had a losing record and all that stuff, and they were, you know, they were in a total tailspin. And it used to be your last 10 games were the most important parts of your, one of the most important parts of the formula. I guess they threw that totally out the window now.
Yep, they counted your November games with as much weight as your March games.
It's crazy. That's absolutely nuts. And who came up with that? You throw a bunch of athletic directors in a room, those are the kind of things they come up with because they've never... They've never coached. They've never been third and long, so to speak. That's what the football coaches say. And they have no idea what it's about. Games in November are exhibition games, really. That's all they are. Coaches don't even know what they have at that point. And guys that are playing in November may not even be playing in March.
Tom Pender's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to get your thoughts here before we say goodbye. I know you're off to Vegas at the end of the week for the opening round action. Give me 4 teams you love in this tournament and give me 1 dark horse.
Okay, well, I'm still not a Virginia believer, and it's because of their style of play and the respect they get in their own conference. With the officiating, they're a clutch and grab team. And in the NCAA tournament, you might get an official from Iowa. You might get a guy from Idaho or Maine working the game who is not used to working big-time basketball. In the opening round, there are 100 officials that are assigned. They're assigned by different conferences. And after the first round, the guys who, in the eyes of the officials, the head guys in the officiating area, and that would be Curtis Shaw and Dan Gavitt from the NCAA, they decide who moves on to the second round, et cetera. That's how it works. So you don't know who you're going to get. And if you get some officials that aren't used to working games where there's a lot of contact and banging and bumping inside, you know, all of a sudden everybody's in foul trouble. And that hurts Virginia. And their style of play keeps both teams in the game. And I don't care what their record is. Tony Bennett has yet to take that team very far, no matter what their seeding has been. So I'm not a believer in Virginia.
The way Virginia shakes out here, they win, they either get Creighton or K-State.
I say they lose that game, no matter either team. Creighton's a good ball club, well coached. Kansas State, I saw them in person against Texas. A really well-balanced team inside and out. They're well coached. I think that'll be a 52-50 final score.
Wake up.
but I think that's what we're going to see. I love Xavier. I've seen him play a lot, so I do think, you know, that they have a shot to get to the Final Four this year, and I really love the way they play. Kansas is a team that's been playing at a very high level. I don't know if they can keep it up. Bill Self is an excellent coach. I'm not sure they can come out of there. And Michigan State, I've said since the beginning of the season, was my call as the best team in the country. I'm going with them, and I love Villanova. So I think that takes care of three of them. And for a team that, well, you can't say they're under-publicized, but they're probably, they should be a favorite, and that's Arizona. You know, they've had their problems, and Sean Miller has had some big problems and still has big problems. But the team seems to be rallying around him and playing their best basketball. So it's not a real long shot, but they're a four seed. You really have to like them. Rick Barnes has changed his coaching style completely, and now they're throwing up the threes. They've got a good three-point shooting team. Nobody really has paid much attention to them. Don't be surprised if they make it to the, you know, to the Final Four, because they can shoot the three. Teams to look out for that nobody knows are Nevada, if they can get by Texas. Texas Tech has been strong all year. At the end, they kind of sputtered a little bit. They're a really good basketball team, a senior-dominated team. You know, they have the ability to get to the Final Four. You have a ton of teams that could possibly make it to the Final Four today. With parity, with the one-and-done rules that have been in place now for quite some time, you know, there's so many teams in this thing. There is a lot of parity. It's still a great game, but you don't have the, you know, it used to be you got to the Final Four and there are 12 guys that were going to be drafted in the first 15 spots there. Now you might have one guy from the Final Four that makes it NBA. So it's a different deal, but it's still about the coaches. And look for coaching matchup before you fill out your brackets. That is critical. Be careful of picking teams that are red hot. The Cougars are good enough to get to a Sweet 16 and maybe the Elite Eight this year. They're a dangerous team. They're well coached. But be careful of teams that were red hot and first timers in the tournament. It's a nerve test. You know, it used to be you pretty much could pick Duke for a Final Four appearance, but with the one and done that Mike is going with, all those young freshmen, who knows what they're going to do? But it looks like Kentucky has righted itself. Calipari has them ready for a deep run in the tournament. So don't count the Wildcats out either. Let's see. I think it's going to be a great tournament.
I think so, too.
I really do. But I'm picking Michigan State right now.
Okay. There we go. Tom Pender's Hall of Fame coach with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll get caught up with you around Sweet 16 time. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Always a pleasure, and next year for the Huskers.
Tom Pender's call it a shot, Nebraska to the tournament next year. He likes Sparty, and I asked him for four teams he likes. He gave me the one he hates, that being Virginia. Sauter Heyman, your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. See Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman this March. And you know what? It's no time like right now to find out more about those pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds grown in a lab that are eco-friendly, that are 100% sustainable, 10 to 40% less than earth-mined diamonds. They're beautiful, and they're one of the top sellers at Sauter. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln around west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. What the committee think? You'll hear from them next.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to have you back. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, proud of Chicago at Hail Varsity Radio. Hall of Fame coach Tom Pender's there. Frustrated for Nebraska. Hated what the committee did. And you can beat him up for about a lot of things. Here's one thing that I'm not going to hurt them on is Oklahoma. I want to see Oklahoma in. Do they deserve to be in? Charles Barkley says no. Dean Blevins says no. The world says no. I'm not going to lie to you. If you're going to get me interested, and we want you down at Longwell's, it's going to rock. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be awesome. Thursday and Friday for the opening rounds of the NCAA tournament. We'll have a pre-show, 9 to 11. But I want to see Colin Sexton of Bama. I'm glad Bama played their way in. I caught a bit of Providence with Uncle Nate on Saturday night. They played well. They got beat by Nova. But Providence doesn't suck. So, okay, play your way in. It's all good. I still remember Providence and their point guard named God, Sham God, 100 years ago. So I don't hate the Friars. They played their way in. And I want to see Trey and OU. If not, put a run together and meet Duke. Or I want to see them continue this tire fire of team chemistry. Either way, I win. Now, Nebraska not being in, Nebraska not getting into a play-in game, Nebraska not hooking up with St. Mary's or Oklahoma or pick a team, you know, fine. And I can't be less excited about the NIT just like you. It's a consolation prize, and it's a bad one at that. It's the white elephant gift that they re-gift to you. What it is. So let's talk a little bit here. How does Nebraska avoid this in the future? Cut 11. Win, whether you have 20 games like Texas did against tournament teams, or win the tournament games you have scheduled. If you are at that number 7 like Nebraska was.
You know, just not beating UCF with tackle fall, I think, hurt us with more opportunity. You know, we played plenty of Power 6 schools. You know, I don't know how many, but at least 23 or 4, I'm sure. And usually that's kind of your number. And we just didn't have any opportunities to win. We had probably the fewest opportunities to win, and we didn't win. And that's where it all really comes down to. The Minnesota win sputtered out. Michigan, obviously, we weren't able to beat them in the Big Ten tournament. We looked like just like everybody else against them. I mean, they were rolling. The only team that really, I think, had a chance to beat them was Iowa.
You ran out of chances. You ran out of time.
Ohio State on the road, Creighton on the road. You know, we weren't prepared for Michigan State the way they were playing at that time. Purdue was one of those days we just kept shooting ourselves in the foot. We kept turning it over every time we thought we could make a run. They just got out that really hot start. So essentially, by the time we played Ohio State at Ohio State, there wasn't another game we could have won that mattered until the Big Ten tournament. I mean, if you look at the quad system and what it was, nobody would have predicted that, and you can't.
Bruce Rasmussen not asked about Nebraska. That's the other thing. Aside from Greenberg and aside from Dokic, about a 13 conference win Big Ten team, the national outcry for Nebraska is non-existent. The local outcry on social media, you're fired up, and I get it. Because you wanted it to happen. You wished it would happen. It didn't happen. And they're a good enough team to win in the tournament. But here's the fact about Nebraska. At PBA, they're a tournament team. On the road, they're a bubble team. And against tournament teams, they're an NIT team. That's how it shook out. They got better. They closed games. But they couldn't close games against NCAA teams aside from Michigan, where you won by 20. You need more swings at the plate. So the Nebraska situation, you can kind of place with the answer on the question asked to Rasmussen last night about St. Mary's and Middle Tennessee State.
It's a debate and it's a discussion about the quality of wins and the quality of opportunities compared to the quantity of opportunities. And you're right, Seth, there are teams that have more opportunities. St. Mary's had One win against Gonzaga. It was a great win that St. Mary's had, but they didn't play a very challenging schedule, even non-conference. They had, of their 28 wins, I think all but four were against teams in the last two quadrants. So we just didn't feel like there was enough of a resume to put St. Mary's in. And we felt the same way. Middle Tennessee's a great team, and they played some good non-conference games. They just didn't win those games.
Separators. Absolutely. Quadrant one ops. Let's just call it tournament team opportunities. Do you win any of them? Well, Nebraska and St. Mary's each won one. And I don't have the breakdown in Nebraska and Big Ten wins, other than you beat two teams over 500. This sounds like I'm just getting in line to donkey punch Nebraska basketball. That's not the case, man. 22-10 is special, but it's very special in context to what your program has been. Second best year ever, and you're a five seed in the NCAA or in the NIT. Next year, use how good you are to be a five seed in the NCAA tournament. Here are the separators from Bruce Rasmussen.
Wins away from home, wins games against tournament, either teams that were in the tournament or tournament caliber teams. Those were key separators when you really looked at the teams that are in, the teams that are out.
Danny, do you have any problems with Nebraska, with Oklahoma, with Okie State, with Baylor, with Texas? What are you griping about? You were hot about Notre Dame getting in. Davis and the Fighting Steph Currys did you a solid. Do you have any complaints other than people are complaining about the broadcast last night and it was screwed up?
Yeah.
I mean, he just dealt with it. I fell asleep in the chair, whatever. I had a couple of rums. I was fine. I woke up, got my data. I saw where Nebraska's at. I processed it and I said, okay, I cannot make an argument strong enough other than the eye test, and that eye test failed him miserably in New York for Nebraska. Other than this is someone that I've enjoyed watching and they're fun and they could mess with you on the right night. But as far as Oklahoma, as far as Texas, as far as anyone from the Big 12, I have no argument. I can only imagine trying to get through that schedule. ACC, props. The SEC is usually garbage. They're pretty good this year. Arizona State, I thought it was either going to be OU or Arizona State. They both got in. Why did Arizona State get in? Because they scheduled like a madman. They beat 2-1 seeds, for God's sake. Sorry. And I know it matters, but if you got, as Coach Pender says, those guys, and he means like the geeks of college sports on the committee where they don't coach and they don't get that November's different than March. If everything's all created equal, that's what you're going to get. You need to go back to placing importance on the last 10. You do. We'll wind down hour one.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I was all for hearing Danny Burke, and then I didn't shut my fat mouth. So, Danny, do you have any whining to do or anything to cross your arms and look proudly at the committee?
I don't think you've mentioned it yet. I'm a little shocked that USC's not in. I think a lot of people are kind of wondering why Arizona State got in and USC didn't.
Someone finished like seventh in the conference versus someone who finished second in the conference.
Exactly.
And played in the championship game.
And a lot of people are wondering if this has to do with the FBI stuff as well.
It when asked. But if you're USC, yeah. But here's my question, and you can look this up before we come back next hour. Give me USC's non-conference versus Arizona State's. Because clearly the head-to-head is not important in college football or basketball. And I don't know what USC did. And I know the old, is it Ingfeld, is the head coach at SC now, the old Florida Gulf Coast guy, Dunk City.
Yeah, I think that's
it. I like him a lot. I enjoy him. I enjoyed his Florida Gulf Coast teams. SC's always been the stepchild in basketball, and anytime they've been worth a damn, it's been very shady. That's their history. Tim Floyd was there. You got Enfield, who I like. You had George. God, I was going to say George Carl. No. Raveling used to be there. I mean, so SC's always, when they've always risen to the top, you've been like, huh, okay. SC's good in basketball now. How did that happen?
They used to have O.J. Mayo back in the day. Remember that?
Oh,
they were really good then.
And that got football and basketball taken down.
Yeah.
Case in point.
Yeah. But no, yeah, you were mentioning Notre Dame. See, we talked about this on Friday. I grew up a Notre Dame fan. The thing is, a lot of people are mad because, like how Pender's mentioned, too, he's like, you know, Bonzi Colson's such a great player, and they're amazing with
him. Give me that star in the tournament.
Yeah, but I just don't think you can just assume they're going to be good. I mean, most likely, more so than not, they will be, but if he's not playing the whole season, you can't just give him the benefit of the doubt for that.
So. I think the team I would pluck out is Syracuse.
Yeah.
Schedule was garbage. They score in the mid-50s. They're not fun. They're not sexy. They don't have a Melo-type player. And they got in on reputation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one team I would yank is Syracuse.
Yeah.
And I don't hate Boeheim or Syracuse. They've got a great history. But I just don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, Syracuse is just always hanging on the bubble, it seems like, at least every other year. And then they just sneak in there and... I don't know if they've been in the playing games before, but...
This is the first time.
Yeah. But it'll be a good one between them and Arizona State, right? Yeah.
No, it'll be solid. Get your brackets in. You can go to ESPNLincoln.com. Chance to win a $100 gift card from Lazari's. If you're smart, I know you are. We'll get into some spring football here coming up with Coach McBride. Get into that reservation to take the tour of Madonna Pro Active. Enjoyed a workout yesterday. Junior shot baskets. And I'm talking about Madonna Proactive when it comes to health and fitness and wellness. Three pools for you, a track upstairs, fitness equipment. How about 130 classes to choose from? They're offered each week. That's included in your membership. Take the time. Get the 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln with Madonna Proactive, 402-420-0000. Take the tour. Check out some of their classes. Enjoy the pool and the basketball courts or the pickleball, madonnaproactive.org. And find your way to 56th and Pine Lake with Madonna Proactive.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Pretty heavy with Nebraska basketball not making the NCAA tournament. Nebraska basketball being sent to Starkville, Mississippi as a 5 seed in the NIT. But we'll get some spring football thoughts in as spring ball gets rolling on Friday. It's Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Charlie McBride joins us, as he always does, at 5 o'clock here on Hail Varsity. Coach, how are we doing?
Good. We're getting all some new floors in here, and we can't find a place to sit down, so it's a little... We've been moving furniture almost all night.
Jeez. So you're putting new floors in. What give me a little decorating tip here. What kind of floors did you put in?
Well, cement.
Okay. When I think of putting new floors in, I'm thinking, is he going with the wood? Is he doing the laminate? Okay. Putting cement in.
Yeah, we're going the laminate. Okay. We can't go the wood. The hardwood is way out of our thing. We're going the laminate. These guys have done our floors before, and what they've got done looks good. We're going to be able to live with it.
Okay. There you go.
The carpeting we had before sucks.
So I got to ask you, so your coaching background, your history with that, and say you're talking to some folks and it's time to remodel or upgrade or do whatever. Do you ever go into coach mode when talking with folks about hey, this carpet's bad. What's the deal?
No, they put it in a long time ago. So these guys, know what they're in for, because they're in for the flooring that's, over 100 years old.
Okay. And, I gotcha.
So they put some subfloors in, and they play around with it. But, it's a 2 or 3 day deal, so we kind of sleep if you can find your bed.
Well, my friend, I hope you find your bed. That's what I'm hoping for you. Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. Coach, spring football is almost here, and we'll get off of home improvement for team improvement as Nebraska's trying to bounce back from a tough year. We know there's a transition. We know there's a new culture that's in place for Nebraska that's being implemented, and the work ethic, the Nebraska way, is kind of back and in front and center. And I want to start off there with just the mood and the vibe that's going on there, and how that can help keep things moving forward and fresh, but also get guys hungry again.
Right. Well, I think the pre-practice conversation that they've had with Scott is very important of what he expects. And that you can almost draw a line there and say, that's it, And so the coaches have to explain, they've practiced, they know what the practices are like, which is a plus. Because if you have a lot of new coaches, they're not sure what the practice is like. So they're going to start out like they finished, and that's really going to be a plus. And I think you'll find some of the guys that are kind of hesitant about a lot of this stuff are going to find out, hey, this isn't so bad after all. If we want to win, we've got to do this. And it's kind of a – and you'll find out some guys that say, oh, I don't want to do this. I really liked it before where you laid around and, had some fun and, we talked to each other during practice. There won't be much of that stuff anymore. It's all going to be business, and they'll use these 15 days or whatever it is now. Maybe it's two. I don't know what they do. But they'll use this to their best advantage, and they'll find out. Right now it's who plays where. You can look at times, and you can do that. That helps a little bit. But I've seen guys that aren't as strong as others that are turned into supermen. I mean, on the field, their instincts are different, their toughness is different, and so there's a lot of things we don't know about these people. And who is the guy that makes excuses, and who's the one that fights through his own stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a thing that you're, because that's important when you get in the game. If you've got a guy that's always kind of hanging around instead of really putting his nose down and getting after it, those are the things I think you find out in spring practice, and you'll find out some more in fall camp. But spring ball is something that's initiation right now for everybody, and I think that the best thing is that they don't overdo what they're going to do. Sometimes guys get really excited, and they're pushing harder, and they're doing things right away. And I know a long time ago I was talking to this doctor, and he said, don't try to get in shape in one day or you're going to drop dead.
Right.
So, that can happen. So they've got to, in some ways, they – going out there with just a flat gung-ho attitude that's not real,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes is kind of overwhelming a little bit. So they've got to be who they are.
Sure.
And that's the way it's, and of course, like I said before, Scott's laid the groundwork out, so they know what to expect.
Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio, talking spring football. A guy that I think about a lot with Scott Frost, his staff, their set of eyes, is Shaquem Griffin, who's been incredible, was just a fantastic difference maker on defense. And then he went to the combine and proved everybody that, yeah, I'm an NFL player. That guy was kind of lost until Frost and his staff got to Nebraska, or I should say got to Central Florida, and look look how it all came together. Do you think there's Do you think there's a Shaquem Griffin on this roster now for Nebraska?
Yeah, and I think what happens a lot of times is, you know, you still, when a guy only has one hand, and, you know, you still kind of hesitate a little bit. But, you know, when I saw him play, and nobody ever told me he didn't have two hands. I mean, this guy's catching the ball. Mm-hmm. He's doing all kinds of stuff. And I said, if that guy isn't drafted, you know, you get the same thing. I remember we had Kenny Walker.
Sure.
And Dan Reeves loved him. And he, you know, he played. Then they got a new coach, and they cut him right away. And the owner said in the paper that we're cutting him because of his disability. Mm-hmm. You figure that one out. That didn't even get to court before they settled that one.
Sure.
Because, you know, you cannot do that. And, you know, and he made a mistake. And that really hurt Kenny a lot. You know, that, you know, I think 3 years he was there and Dan Reeves got fired. And then, you know, and talking to one of his scouts that worked with him all the time, who I played with in college, he said if Dan had got a job right away, that Kenny would have been with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, you know, sometimes people look at, you know, disabilities as, you know, sometimes he has something to prove all the time.
Yeah.
And then that's where his head is. He's going to let everybody say, well, this guy's, you know, that, and they feel sorry for him. He don't want anybody to feel sorry for him. You know, he just wants to knock the snot out of the first guy that's moving, you know, and that's the kind of people you're looking for. And there'll be some surprises in spring, I'll bet you anything, because I think there'll be some kids that, you know, really take to the pushing and the discipline and the things like that during practice. That this is going to work, and they'll start to figure it out pretty quick.
Coach, and you look at Griffin's ability to get after the quarterback. That was such a huge asset. Two positions on the defensive side of the ball. What are you looking for Nebraska as they move forward? Inside linebacker and safety. What do you need at both of those spots?
Well, inside the safety position, I don't know what they're playing in the you know, in the secondary. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, there's, you know, we tried to have a guy that was pretty much going to be our free safety all the time. You know, a guy that really knew, saw the whole field, and was smart. The guy that was pretty smart. And the strong safety was, you know, you want them all smart, but I mean. You know, was a guy that was really a good tackler, and, you know, really made a lot of tackles. And I think if you go back through our defense, you'll find our strong safety made a ton of tackles and in some years led the team in tackles. And because that he rotated up during the running game, and the free safety was always free. And so it was an easy thing for him to do, and that's what we look for. But I think nowadays, you know, if they don't switch sides or they don't do things like that, I think they both have to be the kind of guy that can play in the middle and, you know, can force the run. And so, you know, assuming that they're going to go with both, you know, both guys. And the guys that I've seen last year, and I don't remember all the names, but I saw a couple of pretty good kids that were coming up. And it would bang on you and stuff like that. And I know there's been some recruits coming in and talking about wait until it, you know, it starts moving where we can hit somebody. And they'll be wanting to prove themselves now. Mm-hmm. And so there won't be any fooling around. And because I know how coaches react. It happened to me. They thought, here's this guy, any kid, you know, and the first time I was playing safety, I came up and blew this guy up. It was their best running back. And all of a sudden, there goes, who was that? You know, it was one of those things. And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that happens. There's going to be somebody sneaking in the back door that's what they're waiting for. That's the thing that's great in coaching. You see a kid that maybe you didn't think a whole lot of, maybe his test scores weren't as great as you'd like him, and all of a sudden, and he explodes and does things like that. So, It's fun to watch. It really is. It's fun to listen. You know, in your case, I, you know, if it was me, I'd just be listening a lot and listen to the kind of the feedback a little bit from the players. And sometimes you can read through that stuff and find out if things are working out.
Coach, last thought here, and talk a little pro ball for a second. It sounds like the Miami Dolphins are going to cut Ndamukong Suh. He's owed $17 million this year with the Dolphins.
Yep.
The run with Miami wasn't as great as it could have been. I think he was the only guy on their defense that was at that level. Once they lost, Vance Joseph, I mean, he was great as a coordinator, and that's when Suh played his best ball. What do you think next is next for Suh? Do you think he looks to Seattle, or what 4-3 team do you think he could fit in with in the league?
Well, he's gonna be better off, I think. I think he's a player, mm-hmm. okay? And if there's guys around him that are just dogging it or bitching all the time and doing that kind of stuff, you know, you kind of lose your momentum a little bit.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, Pelini was good for him. The kids really played hard, and he liked that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if some coaches jumping on your shorts, you think, well, I'm the best player in the field, don't yell at me. But I don't think he's that way. I think he really likes to be pushed, and I think he likes to have good people around him. And that's a hard thing in the NFL, because you got so many prima donnas that think they're prima donnas, you know, and they're going to, you know, never work the rest of their lives until they find out they have to feed about six different women with kids.
So it's a fair point there. Yeah, the old family tree has grown and expanded.
Yeah,
that can happen.
That's right. my wife is into that stuff, and she just shakes her head.
No, I bet.
Yeah.
So you can have your own
team.
You know,
people realize if they'll fit with them. But, you know, a lot of times what they'll do is, if he's all happy there and he wants to play there, sometimes what they'll do is cut you, mm-hmm. and then re-sign you, you know, for whatever. You know, you won't take what they want to give you, but, mm-hmm. you know, they'll re-sign you. That happened to John Perella. He got drafted by Buffalo, and Bruce Smith said, you're going to be the starter next year. Let's go get it. And he did it. He worked his tail off. And the first thing they said was, they told Bruce Smith he was making too much money, and he went haywire. You know, because you need a good guy. If you're a defensive end, you need a good two technique or tackle that can make a good push, and John could do that. And so their plan was this: hey, this guy's nothing more than a hayseed. He'll re-sign, you know, and all that. They tried to do that, and he said, "I'll quit football before I ever play for you."
Yeah.
And so he ended up, John ended up signing for minimum with the Chargers. I mean, he, you know, and of course he proved himself, and, you know, as time went on, he's healed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's been great. Coach, we'll catch up with you next Monday, and it'll be kind of a spring practice in, and it'll be spring break, but plenty of things to get involved with Nebraska this spring, and we can't wait to catch up with you next Monday.
Okay. Well, let me know how it went. If I can't read something in the paper.
I don't know that it's open. I don't think it's open to anybody, but we'll hear from Coach Frost on Wednesday, so it'll be good.
Well, go over and sneak in.
Yeah. I'll just say Coach McBride said I could, right?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Go call up Hamilton and ask him how he used to do it.
I might have to, or I'll ask you Monday. That's pretty good.
Okay. Take
care, Coach.
Talk to you later.
There he is. Yeah, Kenny's in one of those Bigfoot gear type camo setups. That's funny. Eddie Markowski on the way with Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Greg, you caught up with Coach Charlie McBride. Good insight on Ndamukong Suh. And how things are working for spring ball as Nebraska football gets fired up. Pretty heavy basketball day. We welcome in the Pride of Ord, standout with Nebraska basketball. And he's been with us all season long talking this 2017-18 Husker squad. Andy Markowski back with us at Markowski underscore Andy. And he kicked butt, took names this weekend with Andy Kindy and of course, the folks over at NET and Larry Putney with the boys' state tournament. Andy, how are you, sir? Busy weekend for you. What do you know?
Doing great, Smitty. The voice is finally recovering after talking hoops for 14 straight hours on Saturday.
Oh, I got a tear for you on that one because, I mean, I can imagine the 14 hours being overload, but you saw some incredible game. It was a great state tournament, man. It was just so exciting. You had the build-up, you had the lead-up, and you had just some incredible games. Is this – you've been doing it a long time with NET – was this one of the better tournaments, or at least more exciting ones you were a part of?
Yeah, certainly. Even the Thursday, Friday, Class A Thursday was unbelievable. There's guys that have watched this for 30, 40 years and have said that was by far the best two games set they've seen. And then certainly Saturday, you started the game off with Winnebago Wahoo, and you saw some overtime games, repeat champions, and. And you saw a very good team in Creighton Prep. So I thought it was, certainly the most complete six games in one day. Normally you have one or two blowouts, and certainly that wasn't the case on Saturday.
No, you did. You had overtimes, and you had teams kind of live up to the hype in Prep's case. They did well. You had York. What a finish they had to force overtime. And they did their thing, and then Wahoo was tremendous. I want to go to Nebraska here, Andy, and – Were you able to kind of just go into last night's selection show, knowing how this would shake out? Did you feel Nebraska would be left out, or were you optimistic? And the second part of that, did you think Nebraska would fall as far as they did, according to the committee, when we look at where they ended up being with the NIT seeding?
Yeah, I certainly thought. With a week or so to play that we had a chance. And then you look at some of the bubble teams that won enough games, and a Syracuse or a Texas win their conference, you started seeing those teams that I thought needed to lose, won just enough in their conference tournament to really keep themselves, kind of in that picture where they didn't need to go to that next the wave. So going into Sunday, I did not feel like Nebraska would get a spot. But certainly the NIT seeding surprised me. I thought we were probably a three seed, looking to host. So when the five seed came out, I certainly was caught off guard. And then you look at, some of the other fours, or even, the fact that you're traveling to Mississippi State, which I would put our resume up against theirs and feel like it's better. A lot of questions there, but hey, you're in the postseason. Sometimes going on the road lets you clear your mind away from some of the other distractions you have at home. So there's some positives in that as well.
I thought Nebraska, while Coach Miles needed to stay positive and be positive on social media and on TV, it really kind of spelled out the way you could look at it that they were in trouble with the selection committee. That said, he felt like they were in. They were nowhere near in. What's Coach Miles supposed to do? Hindsight being 2020, should he have not politicked or keep giving him hell, Tim? Keep doing your thing, standing up for your guys. How would you have handled that as a coach?
Well, I don't think Tim did anything wrong. I mean, you don't know. That's the crazy thing about the whole process is you don't know what's important to the committee. I mean, they went to the quad system this year, which, what does that mean? Is it RPI? Is it KenPom? Is it, BPI? I mean, is it a tough non-conference? Did you try to schedule, tough non-conference? Is it league record? I mean, there's so many variables that no one knows. So I certainly don't fault Coach Miles to looking at the history of Big Ten teams that have won more than 13 games, and it's 100% of those teams are in. So, I don't fault it. You know, I'm disappointed that Nebraska couldn't have been mentioned more on the national networks, just from a publicity standpoint of, continually brand the program. We weren't even really mentioned, all day on ESPN outside of Seth, Greenberg trying to, promote us a little bit. So I was disappointed that we couldn't get some more traction just from a national branding standpoint. But I don't fault Coach Miles. I mean, you know, I think they did enough. I think they're, an NCAA tournament team, but I think there's a lot of teams that got left out that could win a game in the tournament. But for whatever reason, it was a really deep bubble this year. And, for Nebraska, they had a chance to prove them how good they are in the NIT, and they're going to play some difficult teams and teams that probably should have been in the NCAA tournament as well.
Schedule-wise, do you get more aggressive scheduling if you're Nebraska? They beat more tournament teams a year ago at 12-19 than they did this year, but they had a slew of tournament team opportunities a year ago because the league was better on top of how they scheduled in their non-conference. What's the right approach from a scheduling standpoint? Because you go 1-6 against tournament teams. That was very, very important to this selection committee anyway.
Yeah, I don't fault the non-conference schedule. I think you have to be really careful on what you do with that. It was unfortunate for us that, the Kansas and the Creighton games were games that, looking back on, you had chances to win, you couldn't. You laid an egg at Central Florida and St. John's. But the real story of this is the Big Ten was just down. Not only was it down, Nebraska did not get the opportunity to play Purdue, Michigan State, and Ohio State at home, which, I don't know if they could have beat Michigan State in Lincoln, but I certainly think they could have beat Purdue or Ohio State. So I think there's a lot of things that was out of their control. Me personally, with the turnover of the one and dones and some of the attrition that happens in your top 10 programs, I would not be scared to play any of those programs in November, in early December. I think of Kentucky. They're talented, yes, but those programs are usually in disarray early in November with young teams. So if I was the head coach at Nebraska, I would not be afraid to go play some of these programs that have a lot of one and dones, because you can beat them in November. And that win's going to look tremendous, when March gets there. So that might be a strategy, but, he did that in Kansas, did a home and home, and there's not a lot of teams that are willing to line up and play a Kansas team in home and home. But unfortunately, they hit a big shot and won the game.
Andy, what's your take on the NIT? You tweeted it out last night. Refresh it for our listeners.
Well, I look at the amount of teams that participate in college football bowls, and it's around 60%. If you look at the percent of college basketball teams that play in the postseason, it's less than 40%. You've already expanded the tournament to 68 teams. You've took control of the NIT. I believe that you should go to 96 teams. Your national champion is going to be in your first 8 seeds anyway, so you give 1 through 8. Those 32 teams get byes. The next 32 host the bottom 32, which you're basically doing in the NIT on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday format. So, teams are able to scramble around and get to those games. And then you have your 64 teams. They dump into the tournament that would still start on Thursday, and you play out. And at that point, you would have your best 64 teams captured. It would get rid of some of this bubble talk, and it would give more teams the opportunity to play in the postseason under one tournament format. So, I'm not a very bright guy, but you can see this thing is going to continually expand 4 teams at a time. Why not just expand it to 96 and basically get rid of the NIT, which it can act under the same umbrella of the NCAA tournament if you did that.
Eddie Markowski is with us. He could expand it. I mean, it's already set up. Just change the name and keep the teams. I like it. Andy, got about 2 minutes here. I read all through Dirk's lineage of the Danny Nee era at Nebraska. You were quoted a few times in it. And what's kind of your lasting thoughts on Coach Nee at Nebraska, with just how he dealt with players? The read-in I have on it and talking with Coach Nee a few times in my career, I mean, he's got a great personality, but That's one thing, is his personality. Was it? Did you enjoy playing for him?
Yeah, I did. I you know, Danny gave me the opportunity, offered me a scholarship. You know, was very loyal to me, as you know, I was a part of the boycotts, or at least something that I wasn't proud of. At, you know, at 18 years old, sometimes you follow a group of guys that don't always make the best decisions. You know, I'll say this: Danny was a recruiter. He was a salesman. He was not a great X's and O's coach, and Dirk kind of chronicled that as he started to lose some of those ancillary pieces around him that I think were good for Danny to have in managing not only scouting reports but practice and bench coaching. But he won a lot of games. He did a lot at Nebraska that nobody had, you know, did prior to him, and have not repeated. You know, Tim's going to be in his seventh season. You know, with one NCAA, and you look at the run that Danny had in the mid-90s with NBA players and NCAA tournaments and NIT championship. You know, Danny's, you know, he's got flaws. I think Dirk chronicled those. Danny was, probably about himself and his immediate family, you know, maybe too much. And I think kids started to change in the late 90s. I think our culture got a little softer, needed more coddling. And I don't think Danny, that was the strength of Danny's. I think he got a little softer in terms of how he treated us, how he spoke to us, but didn't connect to us emotionally like you probably need to that, you know, that next wave of players that were coming through. And I think that ultimately has been the reason why he was let go at Nebraska and failed at his next two or three, you know, stops along the way. His personality just did not, you know, mesh well with what the last student athlete needed. But you know, I have nothing but respect for Coach Knee and the opportunity that he provided me over 5 years.
There's Eddie Markowski, the Pride of Orr, and thanks for your comments on Danny. I mean, you guys were tremendous teams in a great era of Nebraska basketball. Andy, we'll give you a shout here down the road and talk some NCAA tournament. Thanks for your time today, bud.
All right. Thanks, Eddie. Take care.
See you, bud. There he is, Andy Markowski, the Pride of Ord, standout Husker with us on Hail Varsity Radio.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good stuff from Andy Markowski. His time with Danny Knee. Nebraska not tournament bound, and what to do with the NIT. Merge it into the NCAA tournament. I want to remind you about your friends at Rockbrook Camera. When you think of Hail Varsity and all the amazing action shots you see in the magazine or website, Hail Varsity puts their trust in Rockbrook Camera, and the Sony mirrorless imaging technology achieves new dimensions in photographic speed and performance in cameras for a fraction of the size and weight that you have with traditional SLR cameras. What's that mean? If you're thinking about getting into photography, or you're into photography, or you want those action shots of your kids' games, or maybe you're at a Nebraska game, to just pop, right? Rockbrook Camera can help you. Three locations in the area for you. RockbrookCamera.com. Great talent at Hail Varsity when it comes to photography, and their choice with Rockbrook and your friends at Sony. Okay, Oklahoma has been the pinata. Notre Dame was left out. And were you satisfied with the answers you got on Oklahoma? Really didn't get any answers on Nebraska, because they slid off the radar and no one really thought much of them. But Oklahoma, front and center.
We look at the entire body of work. So we look at all the games in November, December count the same as the games in February and March. And Oklahoma had 6 wins against top 35 RPI. They had some absolutely great wins. We know that they stumbled down the stretch, and that certainly affected their seeding, but they had enough on their resume to get in.
Agreed. Want to see this team enough. The thing that I disagree with is you get better as the year goes on. Think how good they could be or could have been if they don't have this little mini explosion within the locker room. within 39 shots. Let's criticize Trae Young. Let's have Trae Young have thick skin and everyone else kind of go their own way. Think if he didn't have the immaturity. They were 14-2. They were fourth in the country. You're talking about must-see TV and a must-see player through the NCAA tournament. You got Arizona stud, you got OU stud, you've got Alabama stud. That's what I want to see this tournament. Who survives, who advances. Charles Barkley, I don't know who he's betting on, but I don't think it'll be Oklahoma.
Well, they were the number 10 seed. They were 2-8. It affected it. Well, they were number one seed before they went 2-8. They drop all the way down to 10. They were two and eight. You said it affect their seeding. So they got in comfortably, but they were 2-8. So they must have been a really high seed before they dropped all the way down to 10. That's my first question. The second question is Arizona State and Syracuse, how did they get in over USC?
Here is Mr. Rasmussen.
To your first question, Oklahoma was a real high seed. If you look at the first half of their season, they had a lot of quality wins, and they're playing in an extremely difficult league. And again, while there's no question they stumbled down the stretch and they dropped by the week, but they had enough on their resume to be in. Arizona State, we felt Arizona State had, if you look at their wins, and again, we look at teams in the tournament, we look at the caliber of wins that a team has, and they had a couple outstanding wins early, and they had enough, again, on their resume that the committee felt that they needed to be in.
Two wins, road and neutral, for the Fighting Bobby Hurleys. Jay Billis, the only thing he didn't do is drop the grenade pin when he's talking about the committee and their selection process.
You didn't have to watch a single game to do what they did. Not one. Didn't have to turn
look,
on the TV.
Look at the numbers?
Yep. That's all they're doing. It's clear.
Who'd you beat? Were they in the tournament? Dick Vitale, as we wrap up, thoughts on the tournament, Nebraska, and the NCAA tournament.
Somebody explain this to me. I know I'm a dummy. I know I can't spell. I know I can't read. I can't write. I have no math skills. But I want somebody to explain this to me. How in the world can Oklahoma State be sitting home today and Oklahoma in the tournament, when Oklahoma loses 11 of their last 15 games, they didn't win one game in the year 2018 on the road, and on top of it, Oklahoma State beats them twice. Not once, twice. Oklahoma State beats Kansas twice. Oklahoma State beats West Virginia at West Virginia. Oklahoma State beats Florida State. I see no logic. They can give me all the talk they want about early, what they did early, 14-2. There is no way in the world that Oklahoma State, if Oklahoma's in, Oklahoma State had to be in the tournament. I think it's a disgrace. I think it's an embarrassment, and it's a humiliation to what this tournament's about. I really, tell you the truth, it frustrates the hell out of me.
Dickie V, baby. Listen, Oklahoma's non-conference. They played me and Danny 7 times, but did well in conference. I don't have a right answer. Danny, however, has answers as to how good or bad my picks were for the Friday forecast and how great or terrible Danny's picks were. So without further ado, let's do a little fact-checking, Danny.
All right, so going back to when we really started keeping track,
we're on a 3-week bender right
now,
correct?
Yeah, I think, you got me on the first weekend, I got you this past weekend, and then this weekend I just beat you out. You went 500, 3-3, I went 4-2.
It keeps both kneecaps.
Yeah, so we both had Virginia beating Clemson, the spread was 8, they only won by 6 though, so we were close on that one. And then UNC Duke, we were both way off on that.
Yeah, what the
obviously.
Hell happened there?
I don't know, man.
When did Carolina grow some courtesy and take down? Duke always beats Carolina in the ACC tournament.
Right. That was our logic. Yeah. And so that was a rough one to watch. We both had Arizona and UCLA. Arizona covered, I think it was 6 was the spread. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they won.
They won in overtime.
67. Yeah, big overtime.
And covered.
We had West Virginia
Thank
plus
God for overtime.
We had West Virginia over Texas Tech plus 2.5. Then Oregon USC is where we were
screwed up.
Yeah, because I had USC. Excuse me, you had Oregon. USC killed them 74-54, and it was only a 2.5 point spread. So that's where I got you there. And then we kind of made one up, Alabama and Kentucky. Kentucky smoked them kind of like we predicted. So,
yeah. Yep, I think you're going to run out of game. I mean, Kentucky was really one to jump on. Heed Tom Pender's warning, though. The teams that are hot, you stay away from. That's Houston. That's Providence. That's Michigan. That's Kentucky. Can you stay away from those four teams? I already have the bracket filled out. I've done it online for our contest with ESPN Lincoln. I have my four in. Do I need drug tested that I have two Big Ten teams?
I don't know, maybe. I got one Big Ten team right now, but you're not crazy.
I'm not crazy. I absolutely, the Midwest, man, whoever survives it's going to get beat because they will be punch drunk by then. I did the unthinkable with who I picked. We'll wind down on Monday with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's 5:20 here in Seattle. Excited about my lovely day, but got to get this workout in first. Stay tuned. There'll be some exciting things going on.
Ndamukong Suh. Where's he end up? I think it'd be cool for Junior and the Aaron Babcock Seattle Seahawks fan club for him to be in Seattle. You just get rid of Michael Bennett. You get rid of Beef Jerky Man. You got to do something.
Wait, so you're telling me Carson's a Seahawks fan?
Carson's a monster. He's a Yankees, Seahawks, whoever has won anything, Michigan State, crap.
What kind of household did he grow up in? He's all over the place.
Clearly,
man.
Alcohol and abuse.
Clearly, yeah.
That's just his mom we're talking about. I
That's
don't.
Rough.
Hey, they won. I like Seattle. These colors are cool.
Where's the loyalty or just proximity? You know?
I don't know, man. I tried to like send him to Seattle 100 times, and they keep resending him. No, I have no answers for you, Danny. I'm sorry. Right. You're a Bears fan, so before you throw rocks.
I'm just saying, I feel like he's got to suffer for a little bit with the team, you know?
Well, and Seattle fans that have come before him have suffered. There's no more basketball team there.
That's true.
Right? So that's not new, but it's still painful. I don't know. Weekend was good?
Yeah, solid weekend. Yeah, I called that game on Saturday where the Huskers smoked them 22-3.
So good for you.
Yeah, that was a long game.
How's the scorebook look?
It was messy. It was all over the place. But, yeah. And then we switched off a little halfway. So I was in that 13-run, 6-inning for the Huskers. So that was a fun one.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Home run, batting practice. It is. Yep. It was decent weather.
Yeah, not too bad.
So it'll be good. We want to see you down at Longwells Thursday and Friday with ESPN Lincoln. You're invited out. Plenty of goodies and prizes. You can log on ESPN Lincoln for more information. But the tournament gets rocking. We want to see you down there at Longwells with us. And we'll have a pre-show. Myself, Gregeth, and Hooksy, 9 to 11, Thursday and Friday. Getting you ready for the tournament. Opening weekend is so much fun. And upsets, enjoyment, food and drink specials. And you want to be down there with us at Longwells. Your chance to win some awesomeness. And yes, the bracket contest can win a gift card from our friends, awesome dudes at Lazari's, to get that bracket rolling. If you're driving and you're texting or you're texting and you're driving, don't do it. That's the best way I can say it. There's stupider things to do, but that list is short. It's dangerous to text and to drive. And no matter how safely you think you do it, when you send a text or receive a text that takes your eyes off the road, when you take your eyes off the road, it's like driving blind 55 miles per hour, the length of a football field. It increases your crash risk by 23 times. You've seen the odds out for Michigan State or Michigan or Purdue or Duke to win the national championship, to win the tournament. Well, it's not 23-1 on any of those teams. It's 23 times more likely to crash when you text and when you drive. And you can be fined between $100 and $300. I've just laid out why you shouldn't text and drive. This message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Okay, some spring football tomorrow. We'll talk more hoops. Rick Pizzo, Mitch Sherman, perhaps a special guest as well. Big thanks to Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt. Get the podcast, HaleVarsity.com or iTunes. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hale Varsity.